and welcome to another episode of Tales from a Vet Tech with me, Tabitha Kucera. Today, I'm speaking to social media and content marketing extraordinaire Tiffany Chen of Pawsistant. She shares how she made a huge leap and started her own business essentially out of nowhere, which was awesome. She also shares how social media can benefit you as a business, where to get started when it comes to starting a social media brand, and she even shares her favorite free online tools. So I hope you guys enjoy. Hi, Tiffany. I am so excited to have you here. Tiffany is one of the few people that actually make me like social media and embrace creating content, even though all of you out there know that I'm all over social media and I do love it. But creating reels and keeping up with content, it's a lot of work. And she's one of the few people out there who made it fun for me. It's easily digestible and actually made me better at it. So I had to have her on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yay. Thank you so much for that compliment and for inviting me back on. I was just so excited when you asked me to speak with you because speaking with you is always so fun.
Yeah, I randomly found you on Instagram. And then I was like, I love this girl's energy. And she's also very smart about something that I am not. So to get started, I figured we could have you just tell us a little bit about yourself because I don't know your career path and how you started Pawsistant. And I know you're doing a lot of other things now, but I didn't know that you worked in corporate prior to that until I started reading your bio. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your career path and kind of where you're at now and what all the cool stuff you're doing?
Yes, yes. Wow. I feel like I should just give you my whole history.
Go.
No, so I'm just gonna start like from the beginning. So I graduated from college with a bachelor's degree in communication studies. So I've always really been interested in like how communication works and just all of that good stuff. So after I graduated, I actually just decided to become a flight attendant. I'm just gonna do it. Like, I just graduated, let's just have fun. Couple years into that, I'm like, this is actually not for me. Like, it's too on the go, and I'm definitely very much like a routine person. So that's when I left the flight attendant world, and then I went into like a more of an office setting where I worked either as like an admin. I switched a couple times, but I like, you know, did like office work, like admin work to support the whole office. Or I even also went into like a little bit of like recruiting for a staffing agency. And so that was my last job before I started Pawsistant. And I was at a point in the corporate life where I'm like, man, like I really just want to do something that makes a difference. Like I feel like there's something in me that I need to be able to make a difference. And this office job just isn't cutting it for me. So I started to sign up for a course. This was after I got my dog, my puppy. Aww. And I signed up for a course that teaches you about like virtual assistants. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I'm just going to jump into it and give it a try and see what it is. So in this course, it kind of goes over everything, like making social media content, writing blogs, like just a little bit of everything, podcast editing, like just a little bit of everything. And it was like a self-paced course. And then after you learn it, you just kind of start, I guess. But I was really fortunate, I would say, or maybe like in the right place at the right time type of thing, because after I had finished the course, there was a friend that I met online who just finished her dog training school. So she just got her certification. And I was like, hey, I just took this course and I want to, you know, help dog trainers grow their business on social media. Like, do you think I could help you? And she was like, yes. Like, so we went into like a whole Instagram strategy session type of thing. Like my first one ever.
We'll have to start somewhere.
Yeah. So I was just like, let's just, you know, I'm going to help you do the thing. And if you like it, just give me like a testimonial and then that'll be good. So yeah, that was like my first session. After I did it, she was like, oh my gosh, like you really need to help more dog trainers with this because I would have never known what to do on Instagram. And I think that just gave me a confidence boost. So I went and like made my business profile on Instagram and I just
started. You like jumped. I love that. Whoa. That's a huge step. I was like,
she thinks, she says I'm good. Say no more. I'm going to just do it.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I just kind of started posting and it was just something like, oh my gosh, I remember I was so scared and I was so like, this is way outside of my comfort zone. So I actually just told myself, this is an experiment. Just imagine it as like a scientific experiment. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, just try do it differently somehow. And every day I'm just like, this is not going to happen for me, but I'm just going to keep trying. And if it fails, it was an experiment.
No, that's a really realistic, awesome mindset. Because starting your own business, as we both know, is terrifying. And I think changing your mindset, being like, if this doesn't go perfect, which we're all there sometimes, I'm shit at this, imposter syndrome. But you were like, this is just fun. This friend said I was pretty okay at this. I have a background in communications. Fuck it. Let's do it. And then if it did suck, based on your perspective, you're like, hey, that didn't take much time. I can go back to getting another gig or whatever. There's lots of options.
Yeah, for sure. Like I wasn't sure. And I think I wasn't sure for like the first 6 months of it. I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I kind of do. So let's just do it.
Relatable content, business owners. Now that I've had my business for like, it's hard to think, but it's been a long time. It's been over 5 years. But in my brain, I always say 5 years. But I remember the first 6 months, I just met super random. I was at a brewery. And I saw one of my first clients ever. And we still stay in touch. Like they've gotten other cats. Things have happened. And I don't even want to tell you guys what I was charging because it was disgusting. It was very upsetting. And because I didn't start a business until I was a technician. I had credentials. I had a lot of experience. But even then I was like, ugh. And now it makes me nauseous to think about how little I was charging. So that, take it from me and Tiffany. It's scary and we all feel like we're shit at first. You got to try.
Yes. Yes.
And now you're awesome and successful. And I feel like I'm fairly successful because it's weird to say that you're successful.
Right.
Isn't that weird? Like, yes. How's your business going? Good. I don't know. Like,
I don't know if I'm successful. Like, what does that look like?
And for people who are not familiar with your amazing company, PawSistant, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yes. So PawSistant is 100% dedicated to helping, you know, R+ pet professionals grow their business through social media. Because I feel like social media is just so powerful and it's not always 100% a positive place, but I feel like, you know, we can make content to educate the audience and also grow our business at the same time.
No, 100%. And I do think I love social media, but my main goal with social media was to create educational content because I see the lack of resources regarding behavior and veterinary related items, things, all the things. So I was like, well, this is what I have control of. I can do my best to be the person I want other people to be in the world and to create content that's helpful if I get some business out of it and get some branding, which again, guys, I learned about branding way later in my business. And my other friends and colleagues said that I was branded branding myself and I did not realize it. So fun times. So obviously social media could be a good thing, but also a bad thing. And I know there's a lot of awesome vet techs and vets out there who are doing their own businesses, but also people who are sharing posts for their positive reinforcement behavior consulting business or even their shelter. So I'm sure you have a lot, but could you share a few benefits for businesses to use social media? And when I say use social media in a way that works for them, because that's a whole nother thing.
Yes. It's like a Pandora's box.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yes. Well, I feel like nowadays, like, being online is just as important as, like, if you were to market in person. And I feel like being able to market your business on social media, not only, like, obviously the first thing is it's going to get a lot more people to know about you in the first place, right? Because you're going to be able to reach, like, hundreds and thousands of people from even like all around the world to know about your business. And, you know, so that's like one big point of it is, you know, the reach, the possibilities. And then the second of it is, I feel like it's also really important to have an online presence, even if you're doing like in-person services. Like, for example, if I just like found a business that I liked in my local area, I always check like their social media first, right? Sure. Because I want to make sure, like, are you still in business? Like, what is involved in your business? Like, I always check that, especially when it comes to like hiring like a service. I always want to like do my research before I can make sure that I can work with them. So I feel like those are just like some of the little things that is really beneficial for when you market on social media. But like I said, there's like a Pandora box. So there's like tons of benefits to it. But the biggest ones are, you know, letting, you know, potential customers know what is going on and if you're still in business and what's happening with your business. And then also being able to get more eyes on your business and reach people from all around the world.
No, for sure. And I mean, my local coffee shop, which is my secondary office, I always go on their Instagram to be like, oh, what are the specials today? What are, because you're not going to put that on your website every day, change your website. And I know a lot of businesses who these days are not trainers or veterinary clinics necessarily, but whose website is essentially their Instagram. So times are definitely changing and keeping up, because sometimes I'll go to a website and even though you're awesome at your job, whether we're talking about a veterinary hospital, a trainer, a coffee shop, and if it looks like it's from 1990, that gives me a vibe. I'm like, okay. so it's, even though they may be amazing, it is kind of like, especially now in 2023, in many cases, it's our first introduction. So it's like the first impression means a lot. I think any social media content or website, but again, some people don't have websites, but they keep up with their social media. Like, hey, we're closing for a CE meeting or whatever. And you're kind of like covering your bases. So I know social media can be overwhelming because it was for me. And now I'm a lot better at it. But I'm not going to lie to you guys. I do put probably more thought into my content than others do. I think a lot of the people that listen to this podcast, like veterinary professionals, credentialed behavior professionals, because we're aware of the amount of not great content out there. And I'm aware of how humans take in content where they may not check the references I cite or they may just read this and kind of go be like, hey, telling a friend, I saw this. So I am very aware of how much like the words that I'm using, everything. So I used to spend like an hour or two, y'all, it's sad. Be nice to small business owners.
oh my God.
Just doing one post. And then I only met with Tiffany one time. Because by the time I found this amazing woman, she wasn't taking clients on in the context, which I'm proud of her for getting bigger, but also bummer. But just meeting with you for an hour or two was so eye-opening and helpful. So guys, if you're feeling overwhelmed, like it's shit, and then you just shut down, I understand. But now, between stuff that Tiffany shared and some things I'm going to ask her about right now, it doesn't need to take 2 hours to make a post. And it doesn't have to be a huge part of your life, but it can make a really big difference. So on that note, because some of these things have helped me a lot, what are some of your favorite free online tools in creating content, whether it's a blog or an Instagram post or whatever it may be?
Yeah. And I just wanted to say that I struggle a lot with making my own content too. So I, when it comes to clients' content, I'm like, boom, boom, boom. I know exactly what I want to say and I'm done. And then when it comes to my posts, I'm like, do I sound stupid?
you don't want to sound, it's funny because I don't want to use too much medical jargon, for example. So I'll read it to my partner and I'll be like, does this sound pretentious? He's like, you never sound pretentious. But I'm like, I'm just so, because this is a post. Like we see how humans take in information. Yeah. Or can someone read this and would your brain, we can't cover all of every page. Mm-hmm. We're going to control how everyone
think. Like,
but our brains are definitely, unfortunately, our brains go there. But that makes me feel better knowing that, because you're so
So don't beat yourself up. The other day I took 2 hours trying to think of something and I'm like, what is wrong with me right now? But you got to get better at it. Like, it's just like a skill, I think. But for online tools that I use, my number one and the one that I feel like it's my bread and butter is for sure Canva. Like, there's just so many things you can do with it. You can make graphics, you can make videos, but then on top of that, you can make a whole website, a PowerPoint presentation. Like, the possibilities are endless there. And I feel like the free version is pretty good enough. And then the second one that I always use is Trello. So it's a project planning type of tool. Mm-hmm. So I'll use that for organizing my day, has all my to-do list. And then I also like to use that for planning out content. Because when it comes to content planning, I always try to make it related back to what we're trying to accomplish with business goals and stuff like that. So I always have to do that. And then, not to sound super cliche, but I've been really obsessed with using ChatGPT. So
I'm going to tell you something super funny. Feel like I'm pretty aware of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You guys, this is embarrassing, but you guys know I'm vulnerable and I'm myself all the time, even if it makes me look lame. I have never heard of that until 2 weeks ago.
What?
I know, dude. I'm I was at a conference and they're like, look at how this does a behavior thing. And they spit it out. And I'm like, dude, what? And then I was like, what? And so I am still, I know I'm behind the times, guys, but I haven't played around with it yet. I'm still planning on it. Cause I did have a friend give me, cause sometimes it could be if you have to fire a client for multiple reasons, it doesn't happen often, but it does. Boundaries, y'all. There are times where we should in vet med and behavior and all of it. And she said something that I was like, oh. She said, I just put this into the chat thing and it gave me a foundation as a template. And then I personalized it because sometimes I'm a people pleaser. So was she. So it's a really challenging thing to do. So that's where I'm trying to think of creative ways to use it. So I'm sure everyone knows what it is, but can you... Since I was super late to the game, can you share what it is and how you have found it to be beneficial, how you use it?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So it is, I guess it's AI. It's artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I think of it. But I read something or I saw something that completely changed my mind because I was intimidated at first. And then somebody said... to treat it like it's the most intelligent person that you know. If you have any questions, just go and ask it. Mm-hmm. So I will literally say, let me see. I will literally say, for example, in your situation, I would say, hey, I'm a I'm a people pleaser, but I need to fire this client. Like, can you write me a message to tell the client? And I'll be like, sure thing. Here's the message that you could write with a little bit of like not too confrontational or something right. like that. And that's literally like how I've treated it. So like, you know, for social media, for example, let's say that I have a client who focuses on separation anxiety. And so I would literally like describe like, hey, I run a dog training business online at certain place where I, you know, have, I specialize in separation anxiety training. Can you think of like a few posts for social media? And then it like spits out some ideas for you. And then what I really, really like about it is you can give it feedback and it will learn from your feedback. So let's say that it lists like all these ideas for you and you like don't like any of them. You can say that and be like, can you focus more on this and that? Or you can say like, oh, hey, I like idea number four. Can you give me like 10 more ideas based on that idea number four? And then it'll just like spit it out for you and then you can keep going. I don't think that it helps you completely do the work, but what I've liked it is it helps you like generate those ideas just for your creative juices to get flowing.
Yeah, like provide a general, because if I have a general like outline, yeah. I could like make it personal. And but I love that idea for the post because I will be doing that. Sometimes you're like,
to get ideas.
Yeah. And then you're the one that told me I started a notes app, but then I got lazy. So I have to get back to it. But you're like traveling or whatever you may be doing, and I'll get an idea about a post or be like, oh, why is there no, or a client tells me something that's a common myth that I'm like, oh, I've heard this myth 5 times in the last 2 weeks. Maybe I should write. So I have a notes app about future posts, which helps. And I definitely recommend, Tiffany told me to do that. Seems like an easy thing, but never thought of it because I used to be like, what do I write? And spend like 45 minutes, like being not focused on another thing that you need to do, being like, how am I not thinking of something? I have so much content. And also repurposing content, y'all, life changing. Just do that. I was way late to the game.
You have to repurpose. Yes.
Make it into handouts, make it to a newsletter, use it as, I mean, there's just so many. Again, guys, I'm getting there. So for the people out there who probably also feel intimidated about, let's say, again, they already have a social media presence or they want to, because sometimes I'll see a social media presence and it's just them sharing random, which is still helpful. But when it comes to actually creating like a brand, whether you're a vet clinic or a shelter or a behavior professional or your personal social media for that matter, because we all have a brand, essentially kind of. Could you share 3 to 4 tips on how to create a brand on social media and where do you start?
Break
it down into small steps.
Yes. Easy peasy. No. I think so. If you're saying like, let's say it's somebody who just doesn't have anything to start with, right? Okay. So for me, I feel like it's always good to think of a brand as like a personality. So your business's personality, like what do you want to be known for? What do you want to come off as? And, you know, really have like those words, like, are you professional? Are you serious? Are you fun and silly? Like, those are some of the things that you want to think about. And then for me, I actually found like my colors first before I went into like the logos and designing and all of that. So the next thing you would do after you kind of figure out like what you want your personality to be, then you would maybe pick like the colors for your brand. I would say no more than 3 to 4 colors. Like having too much is just too confusing. So for me, I picked like 2 primary colors and then I like found like two secondary colors. So like primary colors are the ones that I'll use frequently. And then secondary colors are like, maybe I could add in like accents or splashes of that color or something like that. And then after you figure out your colors, oh, and there's something I want to say is there's such thing as color psychology. Ooh. So you want to kind of look at that, because it just says that there are certain colors that evoke certain emotions.
Right.
So for me, I know for Past Assistant, I was really big about like, I want to be professional, but I also want to be like really fun. And I want to come off as like a really happy, good vibes person. So blue is supposed to be like a really professional, like color that helps you focus or something like that. And then I picked orange as like a complementary color to it. That's going to show off my fun side. And then after you figure out your colors, you really want to figure out your fonts too. And fonts also evoke emotions. So, you know, there's some fonts that are like just more serious than others, but you want to pick something that's more, not like super hard to read. Like if it's like,
oh, yeah, that's
scripty. Right. Yeah. Like it's just going to hurt the eye. So you want to pick something that's simple, but that still also goes along with your brand. So I know I've said a lot, but the biggest things are knowing your personality, like literally the words to describe your business, and the colors and the fonts. I would say those are the three big things that you would need to start a brand.
Yeah. And I think those are good places. So it might be overwhelming to choose those things, but once the cool thing is, once you choose them, they're chosen. And Canva, for example, which I use all the time, you can actually set your brand fonts and colors. So they're just there. So it's not necessary, because creating the content is important, but having the templates to just throw the information in, if they're already created, woo, or at least you have a general idea, it's a lot easier, because then you're not like, shit, should I move this photo? What color should I use? Because you can get really, you can go down hours and hours of perfecting stuff. So I think that those are good places to start. And as far as, so everyone, like, for example, everyone has their own boundaries. Like I don't do TikTok and I won't. And it's just for my own mental health for a variety of reasons. Even though I love social media, like everyone knows I'm very outgoing on social media, but I just can't. When it comes to places where you feel like branding can be helpful, obviously everyone's situation is different, but what platforms do you really like? And if you like TikTok, that is okay. It's just, again, also healthy boundaries, teach their own.
Yeah. I want to say like Instagram for sure has the best like pet community, I would say, based on my
experience. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like it's been the best, especially within like the R Plus community. There's just so many like-minded people that you can find on there. But yeah, for if you're talking about specifically for branding, I would say Instagram and Facebook would be like the best ones. Because with TikTok, it's more videos. So you don't really have to focus on like adding your colors to these videos.
Right, right. It's less brand. No, that totally makes sense. Where it could be shared, but you might not know. Because my colors are very bubbly. Mm. They are like teals and purples. And
so you.
Yes, they're very me, which is, again, didn't know I was building a brand until help your friends. This is where having colleagues and friends, and having, you don't realize what you're creating, but each one of you are building a brand no matter what, which is interesting. So I think starting there and then maybe starting with Instagram and not, because I know I also got really overwhelmed and I'm like, I have to be on all the platforms. I have to be on Reddit and LinkedIn and TikTok. And because I got really stressed because I'm like, I really should be on TikTok. But then I'm like, I can't be on everything. So just find what works for you. But Instagram is a good tool because it's very accessible. It's more all age friendly. That's a good way to say all age friendly. Yeah. And then you could just create the contact for Instagram and then just share it on all the other platforms if you choose to.
Yes, but you don't have to.
And what do you, this is, while I have you, Because I was messing around on Pinterest and then I stopped because I already have the content. So I'm like, oh, because on Google, it'll show up. So I'm like, I should share more things on Pinterest. You guys, I started a Pinterest. It was way more complicated than I. It is not Instagram where you just upload it. It's like, whoa. Yes. I'm sure I'd get used to it if I go and try again. But what do you think of Pinterest?
I think it's like... It depends. I wouldn't say it's for all businesses. One of the things I like to use Pinterest for is to kind of direct people to like a longer piece of content. So like if you have a blog or if you have a podcast, I feel like those would be good places to direct traffic to, because when you post a pin, you can link it to something.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's good. But, you know, like with Pinterest, I always see it as like, that's where the place you go to when you need to like make something and you need inspiration or.
For like wedding ideas or crafting. I see what you mean. So it depends. Yeah. So on, that's another good point. Thinking about what you, most of us out here are in the animal worlds. So thinking about where the most, like where that audience would be at.
Yeah.
Instagram, I think, is a very good. Thankfully, I don't think it's going anywhere for a while. It seems to be steady.
Yeah. It's been, if you think about it, Instagram's been around for a long time. I feel like almost like as long as Facebook now. So.
And how do you recommend? So I had this happen to a friend and a colleague of mine. And unfortunately, that bad experience for him helped me. Because everyone's different, but I take a lot of time creating my content. Like it's very educational. Again, everyone's different, but for me, it's very educational. It's very on brand. So he had his social media something happened and he lost all of his content. So now, especially my IG posts that are very educational and, informative, I have a separate folder on my laptop for those posts so I don't lose them. Do you have any other recommendations for, again, it may not happen, but I've had it happen to a few friends. And when it does happen, guys, it's rough.
Yeah. And you can be like nightmares.
Oh, sorry. I'm triggering Tiffany. I'm trying not to do that.
I'm just like, oh my God, what do we do? No, it's so true. And it's funny because I feel like customer service, like there's no customer service on like, you know, on Instagram corporate.
Oh, right. Yeah. You can't be like, hey, I lost like 5 years of work. Can you help me? And they're like, can you go to the automated system, please? Or fill out an email. Like,
They're just like, oh, you're shit out of luck or something. So, you know, I feel like they don't really have like good customer service or anything like that. You know, you never know, like you could get hacked, you could lose your business account or whatever. There are steps that you could take to kind of hopefully try to prevent that, like the two-factor authentication.
Oh, yeah.
Setting that up. And then I always just say this, like you really have to try to also use Instagram or whatever social media to grow your email list, because your email list is always yours. It's your business's like information. So if you were to lose like all of your work and all of your Instagram followers or whatever, you'll still have this email list. And also a very good idea to just save all of your posts onto a separate thing or just leave it in the Canva folder. I think those don't really like go away.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like just being able to have that work, but yeah, that would be really, really terrifying if that happened.
But I love the newsletter recommendation. So, because then because worst case, let's say you do lose your followers, or we all know like followers, that's a fun word. Some of those people, some of those people are past clients or possible clients. Some of those people are other colleagues who we're all learning from each other. Some of those people you're going to be okay without. It doesn't, you know, but having utilizing all, because that content, guys, I know we create a lot of free stuff, but it takes a lot of work. So having that newsletter is a really good way, and that email list.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, again, I'm being greedy now because you're here, because I'm currently looking for a new newsletter provider.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions? There's so many, right? MailChimp, yeah. I think, is one. There's so many nowadays. So I was doing some research. Do you have any recommendations on like newsletter providers or whatever they're called that you would recommend for small businesses?
Yeah. So I feel like MailChimp is good, like budget wise. I think it's like free for up to like a certain amount of subscribers. So if you're just starting out, I would do that.
Oh, yeah. That's
for the longest time, I just use, because I build my website on Wix, and Wix also provides like email newsletter thing. And it was free. So I'm like, I'm just going to use this. But I recently switched over to ConvertKit. And it's like, I think $9 a month or something. And you can like schedule and make automated sequences and all of that. So I just started that. So I'm still testing it out. But so far, so good.
Ooh,
and I think it's the most popular one, too, that I've heard like other people using.
Ooh, I will look into that. Mm-hmm. So thank you for all those awesome tips. And then, of course, we have to talk about, we love social media, but social media and mental health can be a really fine line. So obviously, how do you navigate it? And how do you help your clients navigate it? Because especially when you're sharing more evidence-based information, it's one thing if you're just sharing, hey, here's my cute kitten party, or I call it kitten porn. Like, these, I love kitten foster so much, but let's be honest, guys. Sorry. It's kitten porn. There are fosters that, which again, awesome, right? But there's some people who create, because so then also, what's your brand? But when you're posting like evidence-based stuff, whether it's about training techniques or progressive veterinary medicine, understandably, there can be some differences of opinion. And even when you're posting just cute kittens, unfortunately, you can get a lot of hate and stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you personally navigate it? Because I'm sure you've experienced that. But then what suggestions do you give to clients?
Yeah, I think it's so, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's so hard because you're like putting a lot of good stuff out there, but somebody else might not see it that way. And then they always feel inclined to share their opinion. And then it's like, you know, you have to go from there. And then I've also learned that, like, you know, I'm always preaching about, we're making content specifically for our ideal client, right? So that we can attract them to our business. But even people that you might not be technically speaking to, they're still reading your content and they still want to kind of give their two cents sometimes. And that's really hard. Like for me, it has like affected me in some way. Like, you know, I've been in this field maybe 2 years now, and it took a lot for me to realize like, wow, like I really have to protect my mental health here, because if I want to do this for the long term, I do. So I really have to like make self-care like an ongoing thing for me, because, you know, running my business is important and I don't want to burn out. So I really have to like practice self-care to really implement these things. But I want to say one of the biggest things is setting boundaries, like just not trying to be addicted to your phone too much, not trying to scroll on it all day. But then actually setting boundaries, like on Instagram, I adjust one of these settings that if you're not following me, then you cannot comment on my posts. So I've set that up for my accounts, but also for all of my clients' accounts, just because we don't want some random person who doesn't even follow us, not even like into our stuff, to like leave a comment.
Right.
That could potentially ruin our day for no reason. So I've really done that to kind of like trying to protect the space. So if you want to leave some haterade, then you gotta follow first. So that's one of the biggest things. And then, yeah, like try to only interact with accounts and content that you really like to see. Sometimes that's out of our control, but I feel like because Instagram really wants you to stay on their app all the time, they're going to try to show you things that you want to see.
Right.
Sometimes the algorithm messes up. It will throw in like a random, I don't know, like really bad video of a poor dog or something like that in there. But I feel like you can kind of train it to like, this is what I want to see more. I want to see more content from R+ dog trainers. I want to see more like cute little drawings of animals.
Right.
You can really try to train it and just try your best not to interact with accounts and content that you don't like.
Yeah. I think we have more control than we feel we do. And when it comes to, thankfully, I haven't received much controversial hate, I guess would be the word. I mean, that would be the correct word. And for the things I have been, so there's also, I think, a difference. Like if I'm posting something about like pride or transgender rights or something like that, and someone says something, I'm like, this isn't about me. This isn't worth enabling. I'm just going to delete your comment and block you. Like, this is silly.
Yeah.
Or if you're like, I don't want to hear about this on a behavior page, I'm like, this is a human right. And I actually have a sentence that I wrote out ahead of time, like a template, which is really helpful. So, because when we are over threshold, no matter what it is, it's very challenging to communicate effectively. So sometimes I'll just send like that one sentence, very clear and abrupt, like, or I just don't engage. Like if they message me, like, I don't owe you anything. And I'm creating, like, that's one of my mantras, like, I'm creating free content. I don't owe you anything. And that doesn't really get me mad, because I'm just like, I don't want you following me. Like, it's upsetting that the world's that way, but we all know it is. So I think I've been able to kind of transition, or if I'm posting a video about handling a cat and I'm using gentle control and people are like, that cat's just going to bite your face, because that's something I always hear, even though the cat's exhibiting very relaxed body language. I've actually started narrating my videos because I saw there was such a misunderstanding of what people were perceiving and animal professionals, like, and what was happening. So in that case, I use that information to help me better provide better education in the future. And also it helps to give me data on kind of where my colleagues or the field is as a whole regarding said topic. I know that sounds weird,
but
So like with dogs, I'll share a video doing minimal, like, gentle control, and everyone's like, that's amazing. But with cats, I get so much more of the, that cat's just going to bite you. But both animals are exhibiting really relaxed body language. So that wasn't me like judging those people. That's actually helpful data for me to tell me that I need to talk more about body language, because we don't have some of the foundations here. And they may be concerned for me. So they may be coming from a good place. Guys, it took me years to get to these places in my brain. I just got to be honest with you.
I'm like, you are having like one of the best mindsets that I've like seen for social media. Like,
it's, I mean, I think, you know, it's, and I feel the other thing, I think I'm very comfortable with my content. Like, I stay in my lane. I know what I know. And if people have more questions, I usually can cite it or provide 3 articles I wrote on it or provide a handout with more information. So yeah. I know that's not everyone's background, but like that also really helps. Like, hey, I have a podcast on this. Do you want to listen about it? Or here's this free handout with more information. Because that's the other thing that was challenging about creating content that I'm getting better at. People like tiny little baby snippets. But it's really hard to give a tiny little baby snippet without a lot of context.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So that's something I've been navigating over the years and I'm so much better at. But part of it is I write articles and I do other things. So I feel better because I'm like, you can learn more here. Like,
yes,
that's how would you, how do you handle that challenge of putting out information, but only being, hey, you have one sentence to share this very complex medical or behavior thing or mental health thing, whatever it may be.
It is such a struggle because, yeah, like I focus a lot on putting, yeah, like you, like for my clients, it's all really informational, educational content. And my struggle is like, I have to figure out how to word it or present it in a way that's going to make people want to read the whole thing.
Right, right.
And leave an impression. So I'm always stuck on like, okay, like, I know I need to say this, but do I really need to say it? Or can I put it somewhere else? But for me, or like my biggest trick is like, I'm going to put maybe like the good stuff or the things that's like gonna interest people the most in the graphic, and then I throw like important information onto the caption.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't say I didn't say that because I said it in the caption or something like that.
But see, it's trial and error learning. Like I think compared to how much I've learned, because again, I love social media, but also I have an app called Opal, which I highly recommend, whether it's personal or business, but it essentially blocks you. You could set it to be different settings, but it blocks. If you go to Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, I think you can also have it for TikTok, mail, all that stuff. It literally, you go to open it and Opal blocks you from opening it. And it's,
I haven't heard of that before.
Oh, it's. So I needed assistance
because
you could say, I'm going to take some time off, or kind of like with emails, like all of us are, we all hate emails. Anybody in a small business, you guys, I love everyone reaching out. I appreciate all of you, but fucking emails. We're all there. So like a lot of people are like, I answer emails from 10 to 12 and 3 to 4 or whatever. They set very clear boundaries and they take it off their phone. But you still see, you just, the motions, like you're still doing it. So Opal has been something, I can't remember who recommended it to me, but somebody recommended it to me and I've recommended it to like 5 of my friends because their mental health was severely being affected. And creating patterns and new habits take time. So I'm better now. I still have it on my phone, but it was a helpful tool to get me past that, like opening my phone, checking it, because after 10 times when Opal's like, no, Tabitha, you're less likely to, not that I've not ever gotten frustrated because I'm like, why did I set this? Set it, and you can't get out of, like, once you set the hours, you can't.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Even if you like, so it's what I needed, but to each their own as far as what steps you need to kind of help limit or minimize how much you take in. And as someone who creates content for a living, how much time do you spend? You can be honest. You're in a safe place. How much time do you spend on social media a day?
Oh my gosh. You know what's so funny is I'm actually not on it as much as I think I would. Funny story is like, I don't know if you have an iPhone, but yes. on your iPhone, like at the end of every week, you know how it gives you like a summary
your screen of your time. Screen time? That's a bummer, everybody.
Right? No, like I talked about this with me and my husband talk about this, and then my screen time is always lower than his, and he's like, you're a freaking liar or a hacker because there's no way your screen time is lower than mine. And I'm like, you know what? I'm actually really good because I, you know, with my clients, I just make sure that I dedicate like 10 to 15 minutes a day to interact and go on their accounts, manage it for them and for myself too. So I usually don't go like longer than that. And the only time I'm always on there is when I'm like scrolling for like ideas and reels inspo and stuff like that. But I really feel like I've been really much better at it. It does take practice, right? Like you said, but I've been much better at not being on there the whole time.
It's very important, guys. Baby steps. I know we shared a lot of steps on how to get started, some awesome tools that if you're not already using, that will make your life easier. But also, boundaries are so important. And so I know Pawsistance on Instagram. I highly recommend following her. The posts are so digestible and it makes me want to like make more content, which is weird. I'm like, because I haven't fucked around with reels really. And I'm like, oh, Tiffany keeps posting about them. I should make them. So I highly recommend following her on Pawsistance. But where else can people find you?
Yeah, mainly on Pawsistance. I do have a Facebook, which is at Pawsistance as well, but it's probably not as much activity over right there. But I do spend a lot more time on Instagram the most, just because that's where all my peoples are and my favorite app. So yeah, at Pawsistance. Give awesome. Me a follow and I'll follow you back.
Yes. And then I always like to end the podcast by asking what is something that currently makes you happy. This could be Instagram or it could be your awesome dog that somehow got a flight attendant
to stay home.
Yeah, and I should have mm-hmm. asked you earlier, though. So you adopted the dog and then I'm guessing they had some anxiety or behavior concerns, which who doesn't these days? But did you just fall in love with training? Like, or did you just love your trainer and you're like, I wish she would market herself better because she's awesome and she doesn't know about this? Or how did you
I was like, I should have shared this earlier. I even thought about this.
Oh no, but this is why we're all over the place. It's beautiful.
Yes, right. So you know what? Like, he is the first pet that I've ever had in my whole entire life. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, I maybe had like a goldfish when I was younger, but I never had a pet. So I know nothing about this industry, right? Nothing about animals. Like, just I am clueless. But we just decided to get this dog during the pandemic. And you know what? Like right away, everyone's like, you're telling someone you're getting a puppy. And I found it so weird that right away, everybody was like telling you what to do, like how to train it.
Yeah. You weren't asking and everyone's just like throwing information at you. Yeah.
All I said was I'm getting a puppy on Thursday. Like, so all of this information and like, I'm just like hearing people like, oh, you make sure that you like rub his nose into the pee and like make sure you smack it a little, like all these things. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Like I just knew, like, I'm like, that sounds crazy. Like you're going to smack a little puppy. Like, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
So and to me, like day one, before I even got the puppy, I'm like, I am not training it with punishment because I just don't think like that's me. Right. Yeah. I'm trusting my gut here. So I'm like looking online for training advice, going on YouTube, and it's like a lot of mixed information. And I'm like, this just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So luckily I found like, you know, positive reinforcement. I started reading about that. I started doing my own research, Google, YouTube, blogs. I even went on Pinterest actually. And I'm starting to figure out like what to do. I think, you know, like YouTube, it was probably like Zach George who kind of showed all the steps and stuff. And then I decided to make him an Instagram just to be like, I want to track his training journey. And like, I made him in his Instagrams where I started finding like R plus training content and like all of these other accounts and other people who are like wearing tree pouches and their dogs wearing harnesses. And I'm like, oh my God, these are my people. And I just got so into it because I was seeing how like effective it was with my puppy. And I was like geeking out over the concept of enrichment and like
and meeting your dog's physical and mental needs and what that looks like. Yeah.
Yes, I love all it. Of that. I was just so in love with it and it made so much sense to me. And like, it was just so weird because it felt like I had this like double life because when you go online, when I'm on Instagram, like everybody I can relate to. And then when I'm like in person with my friends and family, they're like, you know, why don't you smack him a little or something?
Yeah.
Like, it was just, yes, super, super separate. And then, yeah, I've just been in love with R plus training and ethical training and all of that, because
and trying to spread the, I love that. So I think whether it's, you know, medicine or behavior, like I use the term Susan Freeman uses, where there's a lot of cultural fog. Mm. And even when you're the best caregiver ever, it can be really challenging to find accurate information. Mm-hmm. Like I always think, I don't know shit about cars. Like I trust my mechanic. Well, sometimes. But also, you know, I ask friends who do know about cars, what are good resources, right? So something I share with my clients, because I'm like, I love that you want to geek out, or that you want to in the future, because we don't work together forever. The whole point is, hey, I help to teach you how to better understand your animal and work with your animal. And then I go and it's beautiful. But I always share, I love that you want to learn more about blank, or you see that your dog is having a symptom and you're concerned, which of course I'm going to say, create a relationship with a vet, blah, blah, blah. But also I share 5 websites where I'm like, if you want to look up stuff, these are most, like, because you can't agree with 100% of anything, because I'm not watching every little thing that comes out. But here are resources where you can go to actually get some of those questions answered, which I think is something as a veterinary professional, an animal welfare professional, a behavior professional, is a need. Mm-hmm. Because creating a list of resources, whether it's like, I have 5 to 10 books, they're general public, easy read books that are very beneficial, but everyone doesn't want that. But then I also have, here's 5 websites where you can go. So like, encourage them, reinforce that they want to learn more, but also don't be like, go, and provide them with resources that are crucial. And it's not as simple as like, go to AHA's website, which is going to get me in trouble now. But because AHA's behavior resources, some of their pamphlets are fairly outdated. And but so I was just looking and I was looking at them. So it's in my brain and I'm like, oh, they have so many cool pain anesthesia resources, but these behavior pamphlets, what? These have not been outdated in a hot second. Like, but again, so I think it's important to, as a animal professional, no matter what field you're working in, it is giving those to the general public and providing them with those resources, because
yeah,
I love your story. 'Cause you're like, I got all this shit thrown at me, and it was, and I'm sure some of the information was helpful, but you're getting all of this thrown at you when you didn't ask for any of it. And I'm sure your friends and family meant well. And then you're like, and you went on this path of like critical thinking and like searching, but you had, it took you a while, and you're like, yeah, I don't want anyone to have to go through that. Like
No. Yeah, seriously. And like, you know, for the longest time I was like doubting myself. I'm like, is R plus really the way?
Yeah.
You know, like, you have these moments of doubts because everyone's telling you something different. So I think that's something that I'm going to, you know, I'm very proud of myself, because I was just always like, you know what, positive reinforcement, it's going to work. Like,
yeah,
I might not see it right now, but I know it is. And I don't want to hurt the guy. I don't want to have to punish him. So I'm sticking it to this way. And like, yeah, I can only imagine what other pet parents are going through. Somebody who might be in my situation, or somebody who's like taken the wrong advice and now they're like dealing with something more horrible or something like that. And like, listen, there's so much like marketing jargon. And
yeah, like, it's so hard to find. We're talking about animal related things, but in any, mm-hmm, in anything, it's
so hard.
Like, and I always ask colleagues, or I ask people I trust in other fields, mm, what are 5 of your favorite resources? Because obviously I trust this person, I have a rapport with this person, they're, mm-hmm, well educated in that field, they have credentials, all that lovely stuff. But I'm like, I know they can't answer every question for me, and we still have to critically think and ask questions. Yeah. And all of that. But I ask all my friends, like, hey, you know about cars. I don't know shit. This is the situation. But where do you refer that I go to learn more? Because also I can't expect someone to, we've all had those friends who like, you haven't talked to them for 5 years, and then they're like panic PMing you on like your personal Facebook or Instagram, and they're like, I have this cat. And I'm like, dude, I haven't talked to you for 7 years and you just wrote me 30 paragraphs when I have a business. Like, yes. What are you doing?
Whatever happened to hello?
Hello, how are you? But because even with our friends, like, you shouldn't be like, what is the answer to blank? Because also there still has to be some critical thinking. But look, we're getting off track and it's beautiful. I love that though. I love that so much that you're going to have to share. Oh, your puppy's in your bio photo, right? Because I'm like, everyone's going to have to see your dog.
He is so cute.
How old is he now?
He's like 3, I think.
Oh, he's still like a youngin.
I know. But I feel like you can see that, like, he's starting to get out of, like, the high energy puppy person to now being like, you know, they're a little older. They don't want to do as much things.
You're like, I'm on mom's schedule. She's doing social media for this hour. I'm going to chill in the bed near her. I'm going to enjoy Frozen Kong while she's doing her post. So on that note, because I know that's what we were talking about. And then I was like, oh, I have to ask her about that. What is something that currently makes you happy and brings you joy?
Oh, yes. Okay. For sure, my puppy, but I was thinking about this, and something that's really, really made me happy recently is playing Scrabble.
Like, do you play it on your phone or actual in person? No,
like me and my husband, we've been playing it for like every night after dinner. We're like in like a little competition with each other.
What a good cognitive exercise. Are you like awesome at it, or are you getting better?
Probably not as good as he is, but getting there. I think the score is like, he's at 4 games, he's won 4 games, and I'm like at 2 games, so.
And then you're gonna, it's gonna be so rewarding.
Yes, yes. I am trying to, I don't know if anybody else plays Scrabble, but I'm trying to memorize all the 2-letter words, because I heard that's what gets you winning.
Oh, I love it.
Like every day I'm like, okay, these are the words that I'm gonna have to memorize.
I probably should play Scrabble because spelling is not my biggest skill set. And I think I could be better in that game. I'm a board game geek, so I have a board game night with my friends. Yeah. Yes. So we play like those games that lately I've been traveling a lot and we've not been able to meet every week. So when we do meet, we just play. Nobody probably remembers this. This is so random, but Pepsi came out with a video game in the 90s called Pepsi Man.
What?
Dude, it's crazy. And we've been playing it. So we usually play super long in depth board games. Like, I can't think of, like, Settlers of Catan is one that we haven't played in years, but that's one that people tend to be more familiar with. But we've just been catching up because we haven't seen each other in so long that we just played Pepsi Man, and we're all 90s kids. So it is this, guys, it's, look it up. It's so challenging, but it's essentially this like metal man that catches Pepsi cans. We still don't understand the premise, but it's so bad it's good. And back in the 90s,
a board game?
No, it's a video game. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
It's a video game. And I guess back in the 90s, a bunch of companies made like really horrible. I think Domino's had one with the Noid. Was it Domino's with the Noid? I think it was Domino's. Wait, you're younger than me, aren't you, Tiffany?
Probably.
Yeah. Like
90s.
Yeah, I'm 38 or 30. Oh, gosh, guys, I'm 39. So
no
like,
way. I would have never guessed.
Tattoos and colored hair help everybody. I'm sure being vegan is a little helpful, but, and genetics and all those other things, but I'm embracing my age. That's something that also makes me happy. I'm like trying to get, I found my health journey way into my late 30s.
Love it. It's never too late, right? So,
but now I'm going to play Scrabble and my husband's going to kill me at it, but it'll still be a fun experience.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I am not the best speller either, but I don't know. In the moment, you just figure some stuff out.
No, I love it. Thank you so much for sharing all your fun knowledge. And guys, social media can be fun. Create your brand. It doesn't have to take, because in my brain, I was like, it takes 1,000 steps. And it's so much work. Yeah. And it's so much easier now. And do what you want a brand where you just hey, I want to share the adorable kittens that I foster, but I don't want to share a lot of educational content. Beautiful. You're bringing joy to the world. Or, and you can help to raise funds for your rescue. Or if you want to share educational content, like, find what you want to do and do it. Love it. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And I had just so much fun talking to you.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I definitely learned some new tips and tricks from that lovely interview with Tiffany. And I hope to have her back on, because social media, I love it. But whatever that can be done to make it easier for me to provide educational content is something I'm all about. So hopefully we can have her back. Have a great day, everybody.